Et moi, quand j'aurai été élevé de la terre, j'attirerai tous les hommes à moi. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. À la fête de l'incarnation de la Sainte Croix, de l'exaltation de la Sainte Croix, l'Évangile nous rappelle ce gentil inconnu venu des pays éloignés qui s'approchait de Philippe l'apôtre pour lui demander « Seigneur, nous voudrions bien voir Jésus. » Il n'y a pas d'autre réponse à cette demande que cette parole mystérieuse de notre Seigneur. Et moi, quand j'aurai été élevé de la terre, j'attirerai tous les hommes à moi. Comme Saint Jean ne mentionne pas la présence d'aucun gentil au pied de la croix, autre que les soldats romains, l'on se demande ce que sont devenus ces gens qui voulaient voir notre Seigneur. Comme nous le savons des évangiles, les gens voulaient voir le Christ pour différentes raisons. Certains désiraient seulement avoir du pain pour se remplir le ventre. D'autres, être guéris d'une maladie physique. D'autres encore trouver la liberté politique. Même un des propres disciples du Christ voulait seulement avoir une bourse pleine d'argent. Mais ceux-là ne sont pas les disciples que le Christ veut avoir. Comme il l'a dit à la femme au bord du puits, elle approche et elle est déjà venue où les vrais adorateurs adoreront le Père en esprit et en vérité. Ce sont de tels adorateurs que le Père demande. Le Christ désire être aimé pour lui-même, pas pour les cadeaux qu'il est en mesure de donner. Nous exprimons cet amour désintéressé principalement dans la prière d'adoration, soit devant les très saints, les très saints sacrements, soit dans le tabernacle de notre propre cœur, là où demeure la très sainte Trinité dans les âmes des justes. Il est certain que notre prière contient également la contrition, l'action de grâce et la supplication, mais elle doit toujours être avant tout l'adoration. Ce sont seulement ceux qui désirent vraiment adorer le Dieu trinitaire qui seront capables de le voir, aussi bien dans cette vie que dans la suivante. Si nous voulions vraiment voir Dieu, nous n'avons qu'à obéir à son commandement. Si quelqu'un veut venir à ma suite, qu'il se renonce lui-même, qu'il prenne sa croix chaque jour et me suive. At the end of today's gospel, our Lord bids his hearers, his disciples, to walk in the light. Walk in the light. Believe in the light that you may be sons and daughters of light. What does this mean concretely? As a short meditation, let us consider the words of the Gospel of the Sunday, which would fall today, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. In that gospel, it is a selection from the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither labor nor spin, Yet I tell you the truth, that Solomon in all of his splendor was not arrayed like one of these. We could consider our growth in the spiritual life as the growth of a lily, and we'll just meditate on that in a few points this morning. In the first place, we consider that God has created the heavens and the earth, the lilies of the field, and of course, us as well. He has planted us, as it were, in the soil of the materiality of this whole creation, and he saw that it was good. It's the first point. God has created us. If we're to grow at all, we have to recognize that very fundamental point of our existence, that God has created us for himself, that we should enjoy him and give glory to him. That must be our raison d'être. If that is not the center of our life, a longing for God, we shouldn't expect to find order or happiness or joy in our life. We have to have God as the absolute center, the first purpose of our being. St. Augustine famously wrote in his Confessions, I'm sure you know it very well, "Our hearts are restless, O God, until they rest in thee." Still thinking about this dimension of the earthiness of our existence, remember our Lord said, consider the lilies of the field, plural. God did not create just one human person, created Adam and Eve. Our Lord himself at the incarnation chose to come into the world, not dropping from the sky, but to come into being in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the context of the Holy Family. That is not some accident, of course. It's a divine providence. Because even from all eternity, before, if we can use that word by analogy, before the creation, there always existed a community of persons, three divine persons, who always were pouring out themselves completely with love, the one person for the other, always, from all eternity. It's a very important, you might say, a horizontal dimension to our faith. This was brought home to me in a very concrete way in the context of the pilgrimage a week or two ago to Notre Dame du Cap, which many of you attended. I encourage all of you to go. In that short 3 days of the 100-kilometer walk, it became clear very quickly that no one pilgrim could make that journey alone. And in thanks be to God, that wasn't asked or required. Everyone was helping the other. And no one could have done it alone. Very important. Point two, the lilies of the field, how do they grow? Well, in addition to the soil, of course, they need water. And in this context, we speak of the water of prayer. We have to have great diligence in our prayer. Our daily prayer can't be seen as something extrinsic to our life, something additional if I have some time. But rather the very foundation of our being. Prayer is the life of the soul. The soul is the form of the body. Our whole life is going to draw its sustenance from our daily prayer. When we neglect that prayer, it's just, we should expect to happen what happens to a lily without water. It withers. It gets dry and arid. And there, no longer are we not happy, just as that plant isn't happy. But then, what else happens? We don't have fruit to offer to God, and we don't have spiritual fruit to offer to our neighbor to comfort them. And so, there's a lack, and that lack in us affects the lack in the whole community. Prayer, daily prayer, that water, absolutely essential. And finally, the third point, soil, water, light. We need the sun. And
And of course, in the first place, that goes back to the beginning, doesn't it? The Son, an image of the eternal Father, the divine breath, the inspiration, the three persons, the Blessed Trinity, too, the divine fire. That spark of divine life planted in us at baptism has to be nourished by the sacraments. That's divine fire. Additionally, there is the moral life. That's a part of what our Lord means in the Gospel today when he says, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk according to the commandments. This is not the burden any more than it is a burden for the lilies to grow in the sun. It's not burdensome. If we think it's burdensome, it's because we're still in the darkness and we haven't the eyes yet to see what is good for us. So we have to walk in the light, to walk in the glory of the commandments of God. Remember, St. Paul in Hebrews has that glorious phrase, if the commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai were so glorious that his face shone radiantly, how much more should we shine forth, we who have received the glory of the new covenant? And so today on this feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, each one of us should examine our consciences and ask ourselves, are we following the Lord? Are we taking up our cross and denying ourselves and following him every day? And just to close then with the last word of the Gospel from the Sunday of Pentecost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. God bless you, and Ave Maria.